You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. This is your host. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church, and God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Tuesday to join us as we together sit under the authority of the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak. That's what we're going to do today. That's what we always do here. And I'm just grateful that you all have taken the time to join us. This is WGOD, where God does the broadcasting. He's always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. Now, his word today is going to come out of Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to follow up that sermon last week, which was the law of sowing and reaping, to this week, where we find a different sower. We were warned last week to beware that we will reap what we sow. The Bible says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, this shall he also reap. Well, the Lord Jesus also has done some sowing of his own. You can read this in Matthew chapter 13. This is where we're going to be. This is a 60-minute sermon, so I'll have it play 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. This is part one. For more info on this church, islandcommunitychurch.net. Our statement of faith is up there. What we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ is up there. There's no more great and more important thing than that. Every sermon for the last 11 years is available on there. Our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. So those are some of the ways to get involved here with this church and with this ministry. Wednesday night, Bible study. That'll be tomorrow night. And this will be the last week in the book of Galatians this Wednesday. The following week, we start Romans. That'll run us through the rest of the year. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, will be leading that and teaching that here at the church. You are invited for any one of our services, Wednesday morning, 10:30, Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, from 6 to 7, Sunday morning, 10:30. If you enjoy what you hear here on this radio program, I encourage you, if you are local, to come by the church, visit here. Hopefully you'd like it here. Lord's doing a great work here. You are invited. Okay, here's part one of this message. I've entitled this sermon, How's Your Soil? It's a shocking thing to see that out of four people that start off in the Christian faith, that only one will cross the finish line in faith. How's Your Soil, this is called. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you in the house here, and we shall not be moved. We exalt you here in your house. Lord, we pray right now you do an awesome work. Lord, I pray you help reveal to us our true heart condition here this morning. We seek the truth, and the truth comes from you. You are the truth. We listen for your voice. Speak to us through your word. Lord, we pray for those that will be listening in on the radio this week, those watching on YouTube now, those watching on Facebook. We pray that you'd minister to them as well. Some people are out that are sick. We pray for Donna. We pray for Owen. Lord, we lift up those that are in need of your healing touch. We pray that you bless, heal our church family and our friends and those that are near and dear to us. Please do an awesome work here of healing this morning. We listen for you now. Help us, enable us to be doers of your word, not just hearers. Lord, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, now we're ready to go forward. Now today I want to follow up last week's sermon on sowing and reaping. That's where we were at last week. I think this came to me in my sleep last Sunday night. So perhaps this came from the Lord. I certainly hope that it did. Because this is where he wants me to go next, to follow up where we were at. Now we looked at sowing and reaping last week. And applying that age-old adage and that spiritual truth that you reap what you sow. Now in addition to that, the Lord himself has done some sowing as well. He has sown the very same thing into people throughout the ages. What he sows is the word of God. Everyone receives the same thing. We're all on level playing ground. Everyone receives the same thing. But in the parable which we are about to look at, only one out of four people who start out in the Christian faith will cross that finish line in faith. One out of four. Now that should cause you to sit up in your chair and pay attention this morning. One out of four. So if the same thing is sown in four different types of people and only one crossed the finish line in faith, that means that something, if the same thing is sowed in everyone, that must mean that something is required of us. Naturally, right? If I've got the same thing that you got, four of us, only one of us, if the odds are only one in four, cross the finish line, something is dependent on me if you and I have got the same thing. And something is required of you. It's not just God that's doing all the work here. You need to strive. They asked the Lord Jesus, right? Lord, are there a few that'll be saved? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said what? Agonizo, where our word agony comes from. The Lord agonized in prayer, sweat great drops as of blood. Same Greek word. And salvation is of the Lord, naturally. But as we're about to see this morning, something indeed is required of you as well. In the book of Revelation, we see seven churches representing seven church ages. To the loveless church, the Lord says to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To the persecuted church, he says to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. I read that. To the persecuted church, he said, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. To the compromising church, he says to him who overcomes, notice the same thing he's saying here. No matter what church age you were in, it's the same command to everyone. Something is required of you. Overcoming. Taking no prisoners. Kicking satanic fanny. I can say that, can I? Well, I just did. Why do you guys think I got this thing here? Think it's just a whack on Dwayne's guitar? To the corrupt church, he says, he who overcomes and keeps my works. Notice that. Keeps. You see, there's some calorie burning going on here. Something is required of you. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end. Remember, he says, hold fast what you have. Don't let anyone steal what? Your crown. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. To the dead church, he says, he who overcomes will be clothed in white garments. And I won't erase their name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name or her name before my Father and before his angels. Imagine that one this morning. And the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, he already knows your name. We'll say it anyway. And. That's what we do in baptism, right? Whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father and his angels, which are in heaven. You see, something is required of you, church. You must be a card-carrying member of Overcomers Anonymous. You gotta have a card. And you get that card through persevering under trials in your life, having God deliver you through adversity. Regarding overcoming, the Lord Jesus gave this little tidbit of information to help us. One of my reluctant favorite verses. He says, "He who loves his life will lose it, but he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Now to the faithful church, he says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He will go out no longer. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God." And to the lukewarm church, he made perhaps the greatest promise of all. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne." Can you wrap your mind around that this morning? Sitting with Jesus on his throne? What sayest thou, church? That's some good news, isn't it? That's a promise. It's a conditional promise to everyone who overcomes, to everyone who crosses this finish line in faith. Something's required of you. You got to cross the finish line in faith. You got to be like the three Hebrew children in the burning fiery furnace. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us." Then he said, "But if not, we still won't bow down and worship your God here." Do you have faith and trust like that? You see, you never know when you're going to be put to that test, but you are required to cross this finish line in faith. It's the promise to all church ages. It's to everyone who overcomes. To everyone who overcomes. "I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame," he says, "and sat down with my Father on his throne." Again, to every church, throughout every church age, for every believer who's ever lived, the promise remains to him and to her, to everyone who overcomes, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." That's what the promise is. Now, in another place in the Bible, which is where my sermon will come from here this morning, we see that only one out of every four who start out in the Christian faith will indeed overcome. And the Lord said this, not Rasmussen, not some political party, not Nate Silver. This is no biased poll. They only interviewed one person for this poll, only the Son of God. Think about it. One out of four. One out of four on average. Move that camera over here. Look at that. One out of four. Look at that. One, two, three, four. He says one out of four on average. You see, let some other church fulfill that average. Not here. Not here over my dead body. But it's not dependent on me. It's dependent on you. All I can do is share the evidence and the truth with you. This ought to make your hair stand up on your arms, that he says. Let God be true and every man a liar. He has said it. Let's grasp it and understand it. And let's make sure that this doesn't happen to us, but happens to someone else. I don't even want it to happen to someone else, but it's going to happen because he said it's going to happen. Certain things are going to happen to take people out. Certain things are going to happen to take people out. The Lord said it was going to be this way. That shouldn't surprise you. Matthew 24:9, the Lord Jesus says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by everyone because of my name." At that time, you see, at the sign of suffering and tribulation, people are going to say, "You know what? I never signed up for this. I was told by the guy on TV I'd be gone long before there was any trouble here in this world." At that time, Many will fall away from the faith and betray one another and hate one another. Jesus does not want this to happen to you. And to ensure that it doesn't happen to you, he makes your life difficult. Sorry. But that's the only way to overcome this, is make your life difficult. That's why James says to count it all joy when it happens to you. He says, consider it. The NIV says to consider it pure joy. My brother, we got one that's got it down. I'm still working on that. Consider it pure joy when you fall. fall into various trials. Who can rejoice when you fall? Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that, meaning there's a purpose for it. The testing of your faith develops. See, now Willis is going to get it. John's got it. Pray tell, I hope I've got it. We're up to three. Now Glenda's got it too. Let the church down the street fulfill those odds. Nothing against them. But not here. Look, all you got to do to cut to the chase. I almost run my wife over this morning, running down what God showed me right before I started preaching this. Show me once and make it right, and you're in the right group. That's all we ask. Show me this morning that I'm in the wrong group. Show me and make it right. That's the last group. We're going to get to that. Now you're going to understand it when we get to it. Show me where I'm wrong and I'll make it right. That's all we got to do. Is a willingness, is a soft heart. We'll get to that when we get to that. You will learn to see that God is for you and that no weapon formed against you shall prosper because God is on your side. And God is for you. And God will see you through whatever trials that you're going through. Which is why James writes what he does, to consider it pure joy when you encounter or fall into various trials. Because the testing of your faith developed, the Greek word is hupomone, which means to abide under the hand of God. It's something that gets developed in you when you trust in God, when you're going through adversity. David had it. David got it through God using him to slay the lion and the bear. Then, shortly after that, he ran into someone the Bible calls 9'6", 4 cubits and a span. Everyone else's knees knocked. But David said, who is this? As Aunt Esther would say, who is this fish-eyed fool? I'm going to make mincemeat. No. God is going to take care of this, not me. Excuse me. Now, turn with me, please. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read this parable of the sower. Right from the top, verse 1. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together to him. So he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Then he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, not everyone will get it. Not everyone will get it when they hear these words. Matter of fact, he only explained it. He only explained it to the believers. He didn't explain it to the unbelievers. That's why he says, let everyone who has ears to hear, let him hear, because not everyone has ears to hear. And he didn't explain his parables to unbelievers. He explained them to the believers. Not everyone's going to get it. The Apostle Paul said the message of the cross, or the preaching of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing. Or the King James says, to them which are lost. They don't understand it. It's foolishness to them that are lost. But to us who are, which are saved, it is the dunamis, the dynamite of God. So this message is not addressing those that don't have ears to hear. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to everyone who hears the word and receives it, at least initially. But something happens to them in their life which causes them to fall away. That's what this parable, that's what this whole parable is about. Those that start off the Christian faith in joy, and something happens to them, something that they cannot see, and it takes them out, and they don't cross the finish line in faith. And that's what he's explaining here. Now, like many of the Lord's parables, this one is about farming. And the sower is going to sow his seed into his field. And after he does it, it appears that only one type of soil is capable of producing the final stage of that seed, a crop ready to be harvested by the sower. Now, the Lord Jesus is going to use this parable to teach a spiritual truth concerning him and the kingdom of God. Now, let's go to his explanation of this parable. Let's go down to verse 18. Matthew 13, 18. Everybody there? Everyone with me? Therefore, hear the word of the parable. Hear the parable of the sower. Now remember, he said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those that are outside, everything comes in front. See, he explains everything that this means. You don't have to guess. He tells those that are his what it means. And he's about to do that with us. If you weren't a believer, then you left with this parable of someone scattering wheat into the ground, and that was all you got. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes. Wicked one being who, church? All right, the devil. Notice he's like sitting somewhere and you just don't see him. I don't know how he could bear in this church, but you got to get tired of hearing the blood each and every week, you would think. Let him sweat for a change, not just me. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes. It's like he gets up out of his chair. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away. That's the same word where the rapture notion comes from. Snatch away. Harpazo. It means an open theft. Like someone coming up to you at Publix and sticking a knife in your back and saying, stick him up. Open theft. As opposed to the word klepto, which is someone who pilfers money in years and never gets caught at it. A secret thief. This is an open thief. The wicked one comes, snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. All right, so there's the first blank. There's the first of four that starts off in the Christian faith. Now, instead of the soil, let me give you the heart condition that takes this person out. The first group of potential Christian does not understand. That's blank number one. Does not understand what he's hearing or reading. Now, I always say, this one falls on the pastor. This one falls on the pastor. Maybe the pastor only uses a King James Version in his teaching, but doesn't stop to explain to people what it means when you read 500-year-old English and you just read it and you don't explain it. Now, I love the King James. I use it many times. But I gave you these out of the New King James. Sometimes I'll use the New American Standard. Sometimes I'll use the ESV. Why? Because the Lord warned me that 25% of you aren't going to understand it. And I take him serious at what he says. So I'm going to make sure we understand this text. That falls on me. It's my job to have everyone understand it.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.